This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Hour three. This is so great. We've had some great guests today, and we got two more coming up. The coach was awesome, right? Doug Gottlieb from UWGB, he was on, and Brad Zima was just on talking about his Rooted Wisconsin podcast. But, you know, this is a time of year. Well, every time of year, we should be reaching out and caring about people, but this time of year especially. And an organization that no one does it better than the Salvation Army of Green Bay. And we have with us Renee Main. She's the Director of Development, and then Nicole Hanley, who's the Community Relations Manager. Sorry. You got a lot coming up.
We do. And we're always busy, but this time of year seems to be just a little bit busier.
Right. We all turn it up a little bit this time of year, and we should. So tell us, people know you from so many things. I mean, not just serving lunch and the things that Salvation Army does, bell ringing, but this coats.
Absolutely. So this time of year, we're kind of rounding, obviously, into the Christmas season, but it kicks off with one of our larger seasonal assistance program, which people might be familiar about. It's Coats for Kids time. So even though it's 70 degrees out right now and we're all still loving wearing sandals, we know winter's coming. And so there's a lot of kids in our community that we want to make sure have that winter coat this season. And we rely heavily, obviously, on the community to help us with donations for that program. So,
and what kind of coats do they buy, the coats, or are they gently used, or what are you looking for?
Right. So we take any coats that are new or gently used and still in good condition. So as long as the zippers are still working and they look okay, we take the gently used coats too. But we serve kids all the way through high school, so up to 18 years old. So a lot of times when people think kids, maybe they think the younger kids, but we, you know, kids in high school still need winter coats too. And so at this point, we have been collecting, obviously, for a few weeks and sorting, and we realize that there is a need still for kind of the ends of the spectrum there. So the littler kids, you know, like the kindergartners, the first graders, we're still really in need of those really small coats, but then also of those adult size coats for teens. You know, when you think of teenagers, teenage boys are wearing men's coats. And so a lot of times, you know, we get a lot of the quote unquote kids coats. It's called Coats for Kids, but we're still serving bigger kids.
Right.
So we're there's still a need there. And so we're
Coats for all kids.
Right. Exactly.
You know, that's what it is.
All Renee, kids of all sizes.
Right. So Renee, how is it going? What are the drop off points? How can people lean into this a little bit more?
So we're really in that last stretch right now, and we're accepting coats this week. If you want to bring them to our location on Union Court at 626 Union Court, you're welcome to do that. Otherwise, you can go to coatsforkidswi.com, and there are drop off sites listed there. Right now, we actually have 4,494 kids registered, and that is probably a record, at least in my time with the Salvation Army. Each year it seems to be increasing. The need is there. Coats are getting a little bit more expensive, and all things around, you know, food is more expensive. So that makes a difference when you're talking about the implications of having enough money to support your family.
Okay. Well, tell me about the registration. I'm not sure I knew that. How does that work?
So the registration is now closed. It just closed this week. But if there is a dire need, once Coats for Kids is completed, you can call us and we can work to see what we can do for you. We do also work with a lot of different agencies in the community. So we work with the Green Bay Area Public School District.
Right.
We make sure other shelters that kids are at have access to coats. McKinney-Vento with the school district. There's just a lot of ways that we're getting coats into the community. We also do have some partnerships with some churches, and we just want to make sure that all the coats that we're getting, people have access to. So we're not going to turn you away, but we do want to make sure that everybody's registered so that the event can go smoothly.
And Nicole, I want to talk a little bit more about, I mean, people are generous. Yes. Right? I mean, 4,500 kids, that's a lot of kids it to is. Put coats on. And people are generous. But let's just talk a little bit more about if someone's going to go buy a coat, what would you prefer they buy?
Right. So if you're still considering a donation yet this year, we are really in need of those smaller size coats. So the 5T size, the extra small and small youth sizes, which is like a 4, 5, 6, 7.
It's almost heartbreaking to listen to that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little kid.
It's ironic. You know, I've been saying as we've been sorting, I don't know if it's some kind of a psychology study, but for some reason, most people tend to pick the same size coats. And so we're a little bit lopsided. We have a lot of coats in a certain size, and then we still have a gap to fill in that smaller size, but then also those adult sizes for teens. So we're kind of looking to fill those here in the final week.
Yeah, if you think about middle schoolers and high schoolers, some of them are as tall as adults, and they need those adult size coats, you know, extra small through 3X.
And up to 18, there's, you know,
yep.
John does football, high school football.
Right.
There's some big kids on there that
right.
are, you know, a couple hundred pounds that are, you know, 6'3", 6'2". So, yeah. All right. Well, we got to reach out and make sure you guys have your coats. Tell me about the distribution once you get them.
So we have 2 days that we're distributing this year. We're trying something a little bit different. Friday, November 1st in the afternoon at our Salvation Army Croc Center. And then Saturday morning and afternoon, November 2nd. We have a need for volunteers yet. So if there are people that are available or organizations that could come out, we specifically need people that are able to help us shop with the families. And the kids are there, so it's a really fun experience. One of my favorite memories was a little boy. He was about 5 years old, and he put his coat on, and he had a big smile, and he was like, "This looks great on me." And I'm like, "Heck yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. That looks great on you."
It's a good experience.
That the confidence they get by having cool clothes again, or you know, and that's at the Croc Center.
Yeah, that'll be at the Croc Center. And like she said, we're still in need of volunteers. And another segment of volunteers that we also are still looking for is people that are able to translate. So the families that come to us, not all of them have English as their first language. Great. And so we're looking for people that are bilingual in Spanish and Hmong that would be willing to help those families shop and pick out the coats that day and do a little bit of translating.
It, college kids can do this. I mean, right? Mm-hmm. You'll take anybody, TC kids, Norberts.
Yep. So if there's college programs that are, you know, if there's clubs at those colleges that are in specific languages, absolutely.
There are. We get them into the shelter to do certain and they really enjoy it, and they're great. They show up, and they work hard. They got great energy, and we need that. How does someone contact you to be a volunteer?
If you would like to call the Salvation Army and speak with Michaela Kep, her number is 920-593-2375. Otherwise, you can go to our website, which is S, like Salvation, A, like Army,
I figured that out.
Green Bay.
Just wait, S-A, I'm sorry.
Green Bay.
S-A, Green Bay.
.org.
Okay. And that's going to have the information on how to donate as well as how to volunteer.
Correct.
All right. Well, that's cool. I'm so glad you guys are doing this because, you know, you drive by the bus stop and, you know, the sweater's on, but I mean, or the hoodie, but you really need, you know, you need something warmer. Although we've had some mild winters, but I don't know.
It's just a matter of time here. We know, we know it's going to be cold eventually. So
that we do. Yep. Hey, the Salvation Army, and I've had just a great time working with you guys over the years. Let's talk a little bit bell ringing, you know, and what's all going on with that. I mean, that is like the thing to, that's the staple of Green Bay. It gets you,
absolutely.
It raises money, but it also gets you in the spirit.
Yeah. Once we get past Colts, we're going to round the corner and we're going to kick off our Christmas campaign. So this year we're kicking off the season on November 14th.
Woodman's, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Out at Woodman's.
Cool.
We'll have a little bit of a kickoff ceremony there, and that kind of signifies the, like you said, the start of bell ringing. So our Christmas campaign encompasses a little bit more than bell ringing, but we're most well known for those red kettles out in the community and the bell ringing. And that takes thousands of volunteer hours for us to execute. So it's a big undertaking, but it's also our biggest fundraising campaign of the year. So it's so important for us to get the help of the community and get people out there to those kettles and have them ring a bell for an hour.
All right. Yeah, the Salvation Army, like I said, I mean, you know, all throughout Northeast Wisconsin, but all throughout the country. I mean, they're just...
Absolutely.
They've been there, I don't know, you guys have been 100 years. You guys have been around forever.
1865 and in Green Bay since 1891. So
yeah, okay. It's been a minute.
Wow. Wow, that is great. The ringing of the bells, I want to talk about that a little bit. I think, well, we got a couple minutes here. Maybe I'll have you stick around too, because I was talking to you at break. There's people that in the holidays, they don't feel like it's the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll come and say, you know, Mr. Mayor, I just feel hollow, or even neighbors or even friends, you know, I mean, I'm not getting it. What they need to do, and I've given their advice, I'm going to have somebody on my show to really talk about that's an expert. This is just, you know, anecdotal, but go ring the bells or go donate a coat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm a little biased, but there's nothing better that really raises my spirit than going to the bell for an hour and ringing. And you can bring some festive gear. You can jazz it up. You can bring, there's some locations that'll let you bring your dog.
Yes.
Festival. I think you promised that to us last year, Jim. So.
Milton, he's very shy, but he's getting better.
Oh, good. Okay.
He's getting much better.
Good.
But yeah, I used to bring my kids. They would sing. I mean, if you got a little...
It's kind of hard not to get in the spirit and be happy when you're saying Merry Christmas to people and they're saying it back and everybody's happy and smiling and people are always happy to be, usually happy to be out shopping and, you know, preparing for the holidays.
And what is that? Is that .org? Is it ringbells.org? What's the website for that?
It is registertoring.com.
All right. People got to do that. That is a very fun event.
An hour goes so quickly.
I know.
A lot of times you hit that hour mark and you think, oh darn, I wish I could stay for another hour because it really
Milton
is
would
fun.
Probably be good out there, Jim. Milton would probably be good. He might pee pee or poop if he got too nervous.
He won't.
You know?
Well, if he gets too nervous, no, he won't. It will take him. I'll run him before we come out there. But
perfect.
I think we actually need to schedule a challenge, Mino versus the mayor.
All right, take
I'm
it on.
Down
take
with
it.
That.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I have to set. Tell people, hey, you got to be here at this time. Save your money. Mm-hmm. So I can't.
I think we should just run against each other for mayor.
There you go.
Nice.
Okay. Back in that, it's a couple years out.
Yeah. I'm
tell
game.
Tell people about the Salvation Army, though. I mean, we drive by it, and let's talk. I mean, you've been around here, like you said, it's been a minute. I mean, 100 and some years you've been in the community, but. Talk a little bit more about your organization.
Yeah, so obviously right now we've been speaking about the Christmas campaign, which is our biggest fundraiser of the year, but we are serving the community year-round.
Right.
So at our core community center, which is over at 626 Union Court, we have a food pantry there, so we're serving guests in a drive-up food pantry, and we also serve lunch every day starting at 11:15, so anybody is welcome to come and get a hot lunch there. We have other social service programs, basic need programs. We offer a senior program. But then also on the other side of town over on Limekiln, we have our Croc Center.
Yeah, we got to go to a quick break. I want to just talk about, I mean, this is a great time of year with the bell ringing and the coats, but there's so much you guys do.
Absolutely.
And I want to talk about it, how to volunteer, and how to get engaged with the Croc Center. That is an unbelievable facility out there.
So. Absolutely.
All right, we're going to be right back. This is Mino and the Mayor. We are here with the leaders of the Salvation Army, Green Bay. We'll be right back.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime and jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air. What a bright time. It's the right time to rock the night away. Jingle bell time is a swell time.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Tiny tots. Todd picks all the music that's appropriate to our guests. And
Todd's great.
We love him. Renee Main and Nicole Hanley with the Salvation Army here in Greater Green Bay. And we're just talking about this. The season's here. I mean, you're not feeling it when it's 72 degrees, but a couple things that we're talking about that are kind of an immediate need is this coats for kids.
Right.
And a couple more days where you can donate.
Right. So this is the final week of the collection of coats for kids. So we're asking anybody that has a gently used coat at home or someone that's considering still picking one up from the store, there's still time to get that coat into a collection box yet this week. And you're going to help kids right here in the Green Bay community that are in need this winter. Like Renee said earlier, we have over 4,000 kids that are pre-registered to receive coats at the distribution. So there's a lot of kids in need. And obviously, we aren't able to execute, you know, without the generosity of this community. So it takes all of us coming together, the generosity of donors, and then also the generosity of people giving their time to that event and volunteering.
Yeah, well, I have to ask one question here. Does it ever get frustrating that you work your butts off, and you hit your goal, and then a few months later, it's like, holy crap, that snowbank hasn't gotten any smaller? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So obviously, right. we we're just looking to, you know, everybody come together here in the community and serve kids now at the time when we can, because we know winter's coming. And
it is. And Nicole, we talked about it, and then I want to move on to the Croc Center, but the people can donate coats that they have, but if you're going to go buy one, and I think a lot of people do that, they're like, look, mm-hmm. It's early, but there's plenty of Christmas specials going on now. So I'm going to buy a coat. And you would ask that they buy the 5T, the smaller, and then maybe the 2 or 3X.
Yeah, kind of the ends of the spectrum. So if you think about maybe like the kindergartners, the first graders, the littler kids, we're running short on like the 5T, the 4, 5, the size 8. But then also the big kids. So we serve kids all the way into high school through age 18. So those bigger kids are actually wearing adult sizes when you think about it. And they need coats too. They're still kids. They need coats too. And so those bigger adult sizes also.
All right. We can do that. We talked before we went to break about, you know, the Salvation Army. I think I know you've been here 100 years, but you're kind of seen as the Red Kettle a little bit. The donuts. But there's so much more to it. Talk a little bit about what else you do, the disaster relief, some of the stuff you do for temporary housing. There's just a lot of things that either one of you.
Yeah. So internationally also, the Salvation Army, I think maybe in some parts of the country have obviously needed to assist a little bit more. So we have an EDS program, or an emergency disaster assistance program. And here in Green Bay, we have a vehicle that we call the canteen, but it's basically a mobile food kitchen that's able to deploy and help serve food and drinks in the event of a disaster. And knock on wood, luckily, we haven't experienced some of the natural disasters like other areas of our country have recently. And the Salvation Army does respond. And so they are, you know, they kind of deploy sort of in a targeted ring, I guess. And so the closest to that event deploy first, and then they move further out if they need more assistance. And they send those vehicles and those volunteers to help with that disaster assistance.
Yeah, so right now we're really helping with the hurricanes. There are some local people that have donated funds. If you're interested in that and want to be able to help, you're able to send a check locally. But make sure in that memo line you are indicating that it's for the hurricane, so we can allocate your funds to the right space.
Do you guys deal with like a Salvation Army down in North Carolina or Florida? I mean, are there things that you have to send them if you've got surplus, or not have to, but I mean that you try to help out with?
Yeah. So typically, money is the easiest way to help, because then once they're there, they're able to kind of just buy the things that they need to stock up on. We haven't so much locally been doing any kind of collection of goods. You know, we aren't collecting clothing or things to send down at this point, just because of the logistics of it. You know, you got to figure a way to get it trucked down there and a place to store it and have the people to distribute it. So the easiest way for people to help with that hurricane relief right now is through a monetary donation, and they get it directly down to the people that are working there and get them the things they need.
Cool.
The Croc Center is when she was here and cut the ribbon on it.
2011. Yeah, that's when our Croc Center opened.
Right. And that is just a very, very high-end facility.
It's gorgeous.
I mean, and I think a lot of people have been there, but some people haven't. Sometimes I'm surprised at, wow, some of the facilities we have, Botanical Gardens, Northland Hotel, it's like, really, you haven't been there? But, you know, and it's free. You can walk, in there, take a tour.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable indoor swimming there. I mean, that's...
Yeah, and when you walk in the front door, there are windows to the pool, and you can just see how gorgeous the pool is.
As kids see that aquatic center, you're going to be sucked in, because it just looks so fun. It has that big water bucket that dumps, and
a
the kids
red
just
slide
get
you
in
can
there.
See from outside. Yeah, so I've got three kids, and I would say a lot of nights of the week and Saturdays we spend over at the Croc Center. They have all sorts of different type of sports and athletics, workout facilities, a really nice track.
Arts.
Yeah,
yeah.
They
music
also
and
have
art.
Fine
oh, yeah.
arts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
music
we,
programs.
Yeah, music programs. We have plays. We have pottery, watercolor, and ministry. There's a doodle, Bible doodle journaling, which is really fun. So there's a lot of ways for all sorts types of people to kind of get involved.
I just think that is so great, the umbrella that you bring to Green Bay. And you say it's been 100 years and you're going to continue that. Before we wrap up, I want to, and we'll talk about this again and again, but that bell ringing thing, I think that's great. Anybody can do it, right?
Yes,
young
absolutely.
Young kid, families. And I think to get on there and sign up, I think the sooner the better to sign up, but also the sooner the better to get you in the spirit.
Right.
Yeah. Some people are a little bit like, oh, what can I do? And that is so much fun. You do it with your That could be a date night.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like we were mentioning earlier, we're kicking off November 14th officially through the season. We will rip through December 24th, so all the way up. Christmas
so we can get online right now. We can go to Woodman's for the kickoff, which is very cool. You got good speakers there. And then tell us again. I want to get the website before you.
Register2ring.com. One of the questions we also get is if you can bring a chair. And most locations, there is enough room. So different labeled people are welcome. We would love anybody that is willing and has 1 hour of time.
So you sign up for 1 hour. And I think we should encourage people to, if you want to bring a little shtick with you too, in terms of you can sing, you can
Instruments are welcome at some locations. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you can't come with like a 50-person band because it just won't fit
just
there.
And then we've talked, I think last year too, but boy, the difference in an unmanned kettle and a manned, or not a person kettle. I mean, I use the term, but it's significant. So even if you see one, you can stop by and
Absolutely.
Sign up.
It's not like we often say an unmanned kettle is an empty kettle,
right? That's true. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for what you're doing. And the Salvation Army Greater Green Bay is awesome. What his music. I love the music he picks, right?
Merry Christmas.
Right. All right. Mm-hmm. Renee Main and Nicole Hanley, Salvation Army of Greater Green Bay. Get the coats. We can still have time to do that before it snows. Yep. And then we got the Red Kettle campaign kicking off, too. All right, guys. Thanks for what you're doing for
Greater Green Bay. Thank you so
much. All right. It's Mind on the Mayor. We are going to be right back.
But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm, and the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying, but as long as you love me so.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Today, from the Apple Store or Google Play Store, and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is Mino and the Mayor on a beautiful Tuesday, isn't it? How was your drive up here? Isn't it nice?
It was nice. There was an accident, so hopefully everything's okay.
We'll get to you just 1 second. Yeah. First, I want to give a shout out to one of our great sponsors, Pella Windows and Doors. And I asked you if you had Pella, and you said you're looking at it.
Just kidding. I am now.
Pella Windows and Doors in Wisconsin. That's just a great company. My house is a little bit older, 115, older than that. And they came in and redid all the windows. And yet they do them for brand new houses too. These guys have the range from, and it looks like they were there, you know. I mean, double pane. They got windows where the blinds are between the panes of glass, which is really nice. So you never have to clean them. Washing the windows is super easy. So they just get every different style. They'll come over with their tablet, and you pick out the different colors you want and the different styles, because sometimes you want the grid and other times you don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then doors is a big thing for them, too. Do you know that doors is like a thing in real estate right now, your front door?
Oh, I believe it. I believe it. It can totally transform the vibe of the house.
It can. Yeah. The door.
Yeah.
And guess what the most popular color door is?
Red?
Black. Is it black?
It is. Yeah. It's black. Can you believe that? That's what, yeah. My door's black. Anyway, it is. But they do so much more around it. You can put in the different glasses. So anyway, I just want to give Pella Windows and Doors. They got custom colors, just great features. Like I said, the shades between the glass. And you know, and right now it's 0% interest, which they didn't have that when I bought my windows. But it's great for up to 36 months. Certain restrictions do apply, and the offer ends October 31st. So get started today. PellaWI.com. Great company. Hey, we have a talk about great things. And I followed this story because it's been going on for a while. We have with us Colleen Rortvedt.
Perfect.
All right. You're the director of the. The reason he's ringing that bell is seldom do we use that bell when I introduce people because I butcher the names. I knew Colleen, and that's it. But Colleen Rortvedt is the director of the Appleton Public Library. And that has been in the news. and rightfully so, you have done a tremendous job of relocating.
Well, I appreciate that.
You were in it. I just read about it.
Well, thank you. Yes, we've been on about a 15-year journey to getting the new Appleton Library, and there have been different iterations and different proposals over the years. And thanks to patience and persistence and ultimately community support, and I think a vision that really resonated with the majority of the community, we have a really great new library that's going to be coming in early 2025.
And that's not open yet, but the one you're in right now is going to be closing.
Yes, we're in a temporary library. We are in the old Habitat Restore / Piggly Wiggly near mm-hmm. Menards on the east side.
I've been there. I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, the library truly is about the people. It's about the staff, it's about the community, and the space is a tool. And so, you know, if you stick a bunch of children's librarians into a space, they're going to make it their own, and they're going to make it a welcoming space. And I think all of our staff have just done a great job with that, and the community loves the library, they love the staff. So it's been a really powerful experience for us to offer these services in a different way. And I think it's really good for a community to experience different libraries, because you know your personal experience when you walk through the library, but you might not know somebody else's. And so it's really nice to be able to have a different experience when you walk in the door rather than the same thing you've done for 20 years.
You know what I think is cool that you have, though, at that library in Appleton? You have all the small town newspapers. You don't find that much anymore. You can go there, you can read the Denmark News or the whatever, Wrightstown Press, all those little newspapers you guys have there. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, we live in a region. You know, I came up from Appleton today, and we all live in this area, not like we live in little boxes in our surrounding blocks. We're a part of this full community, and this is such a great region that I think it's good to know about all those things.
Right. And as much as we're saying how the library is more than bricks and mortar, it's really the community that I can bring in there. You are going to be without a library for a little while.
Absolutely. So the building's an important part of what we do. It's
and you'll a have a new building, but I think what we want to talk about a little bit today is you can go and maybe load up's not the right word, but maybe get some reading materials for the next.
Sure. So we close on November 25th. So our last day open is that Monday before Thanksgiving.
Right.
And so starting that Tuesday, it's going to be really important that you have your library plan, whatever that is. So maybe you're going to come in and check out some materials. Maybe you're going to plan to use digital resources. We have a lot of really great ebooks, audiobooks, and even if those are things you haven't used before, maybe this is a good time to learn about those services. We live in a great region with a lot of great libraries. We are the largest library in the Fox Cities. So we don't want to overwhelm the neighboring libraries, but it's also important that you have access to libraries and that you know you do.
I think you make a really good point of, what'd you call it, library planning?
Yeah. Create your library plan. People are talking about a vote plan right now. Make sure you have your voting plan. Well, make sure you have your library plan.
I like that. I want to talk
about... How big are ebooks?
Oh, ebooks are huge.
They really are now, aren't they?
They really, really are. The pandemic, I think, really was a watershed moment for us. A lot of people that were resistant to them started to use them, and between ebooks with e-readers or e-audiobooks, they're a big part of what we do.
I'm actually in the process right now of recording mine, my 50 Strong.
Yeah.
It's an endeavor.
Yeah, I believe it.
It's a process.
Yeah.
But those audiobooks are very, very popular for... I'm not just saying seniors, but, you know, but it is for seniors and anyone can listen to that. But I think you made a really good point. And I want to talk about that for a second to learn how to do it. Cause sometimes that stuff's intimidating. It's like, wait, how can you listen to this book? But it's not
absolutely
that hard.
It's, you know, you've got to learn. Each app is a little different, and the different apps have different licensing mechanisms that work with the library. So you have to kind of learn the distinct differences between the different apps. But once you do, you kind of learn which app is best for which thing. And we have a couple of really great apps for access to various audiobooks, ebooks, things like that. And then we can also help you if you're having trouble putting the app on your phone. But there's so much easier to use than they were 5 or 10 years ago.
My mom is 92. It's all video books. And I have a daughter who works in the publishing industry, and she's, oh, Grandma, you got to do this, you got to do that. And they just really keep in contact, you know, she's 28-year-old, my mom's 92, and it's all through books.
Absolutely.
But Laura reads, and of course my mom listens to them.
Yeah.
And she lives in Appleton.
Oh, great.
So that's great you're offering that. Tell me about, what can people do? What are you suggesting people do? You say a library plan. Would that be, tell me a little bit what a library plan might look like.
Yeah, well, you know, the time where we're going to be closed is going to be over the holidays. So that tends to be one of the less busy times. So in terms of when it's best for the library for the Appleton Library to not be available, there's no good time, but this is a decent time because a lot of people are really busy doing other stuff. So think about like what are you planning on reading? How much reading material do you need? You know, come before we closed, make sure you have access to those materials, and then stop in and we can help walk you through some of the apps and other e-resources. And then it's a great time to check out our neighboring libraries. We are really rich with libraries in the community.
Is it reciprocal? Can I just go? You're the director of the Appleton
Library.
Okay. And then do you have a relationship with Kimberly or Green Bay? Or
so we are part of library systems. And so this area has three library systems, but you can have cards for each one.
Okay.
So you can have what's called an InfoSoup card. And that's what the Appleton Library and the system that we are in is part of. So that's Kimberly, Little Chute, Kaukauna, New London. Then you can have cards for Winnifox. That includes Nina and Menasha to the south of us. And then you can have a Brown County Library card as well.
All right.
And so we know a lot of people that took this time to like drive around and experience a new library. And that's a powerful thing.
And that's kind of fun in and of itself to go to New London and check out their library, because you get used to a library, you kind of go to that library.
Right. In the summer, we actually do what's called a library road trip, and we encourage you to go to the different libraries in the system. We have a little passport that you can get stamped and prizes and stuff like that.
I don't know
that.
What year you guys started in the libraries, but the difference from 20 years ago, even 15 years ago, 12 years ago, versus then and now, what you need to know, the knowledge, the continuing education a librarian must stay up on is pretty amazing, I'll bet.
Yeah, you really do have to stay up on a lot of the technological changes, because that's the path to a lot of these different tools. People call us for information about what's happening in the community. The old library, I compare it to like a grocery store model. It was very transactional. You'd come in, you'd check out, you'd like grab a box of cereal off the shelf or check out a book, take it home, consume it, bring it back. Today, it's more like a test kitchen. You're able to still do those traditional things, but we also want you to come in, learn from community members, learn by hands-on doing. A lot of maker things happen in libraries these days. A lot of access to technology. So it's a much more exciting vibe. It's not the shush library of the past. You can still find those spaces. You know, we still are going to have study rooms and places for quiet study.
Well, let me tell you what the highest tech aspect of going to the library was when I was a kid.
Sure.
You take those 3D viewfinder things and those old like postcards, and you put those in and you look at them. It's like the pyramids in Saudi Arabia or wherever, whatever, whatever. That was like the highest tech thing in a library in my day. Yeah. What did you guys ever do with the little the card things?
The card catalogs?
Yeah.
So
those got to be a collector's item.
They are. You can find them on different auction sites and things like that. We've saved a couple that are special, but otherwise they're auctioned
in
off
the past,
and
yeah.
Probably I've seen people make seed libraries out of them. We used a seed library, one for a seed library, and we've seen people put bottles of wine in them.
Oh, I believe it. It's cool. It's all oak. It's all solid oak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little behind the curtain of what are you looking forward in that new library? I bet you are so excited about it. And
oh,
like I said, you've been at this for 15 years.
Yeah. So what's really cool about this is, even though we call it the new library, but it's still the old bones. The old library is still under there. And what we have been able to see change in it is, first of all, you have access to light. So if you were in the old library, it was a very kind of dark space. It opened in 1981, had few windows, you know, it was come in and, you know, study over a book and don't make too much noise. That was the vibe. And now it's going to have light coming down between skylights and penetrations in the floor, bringing light deep within the building. It has a beautiful front,
a real welcoming
pavilion.
Place, huh?
Absolutely. So what we want is we want people to come in and be able to have that same serendipitous experience that they would have maybe stumbling on a book on the shelf that they weren't expecting to find in the old days. So we want you to be able to do that. But we also want you to walk in and be able to stumble on an activity that's happening in the library, a program, a service that you maybe weren't expecting to learn about. So you want to come back over and over and be like, I wonder what's happening down in the children's area. And you bring your kids, your grandkids, and it's just part of that. Like, there's always something different going on at the library.
You know, I'm really hung up on the library plan. I just haven't heard that. I'm a little bit of a planner. And the library plan, I'm thinking of people that are in book clubs. Mm-hmm. You know,
absolutely.
And you gotta plan ahead for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then, if it's your turn, or you go out 6 weeks, or I don't know how far people go out on book clubs. Probably sometimes it's further than that. But I mean, there's just things you should start talking about right now, because the Appleton Library will be temporarily relocating, closing, relocating. But I think that's cool what you said, and I want you to talk one more time about how we can go to other libraries.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So I think that's what's great about our region is we have so many great, strong libraries. You know, there's a new branch up here in Brown County, and I might be stopping by there on my way back because
nice.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah,
and
it's good.
And I've seen it in a Library Professional magazine because it's so beautiful.
It is. And that was a renovation.
Yeah.
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 And my favorite day at the Brown County Library is when they have the used book sale. Do you guys do that?
So we do. Our friends group has a book sale. It's been on hiatus since COVID, and then we went right from COVID into this situation with moving. So it'll be coming back in the future.
Cool. Okay, can you stick around? I want a couple more questions on the community involvement to get a library, because sometimes it's not the easiest thing to put money into.
Sure.
And you know a lot about it.
Absolutely.
We're going to be right back. We are talking with the director of the Appleton Library. Mind on the Mayor, 8:49. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We are wrapping it up here. Man, this went fast today. Mind on the Mayor, we've got some great guests on here. I don't know if you listened on your way in, but we had Doug Gottlieb, the UWGB men's basketball coach. Is that guy awesome or what?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
What he's doing for those students. I mean, he's going to obviously teach them the X's and O's of basketball. But you make a commitment to him, he'll make a commitment to you for the rest of your life to help you with, you know, if you want to be law school, librarian, professional basketball. He's going to try and help to do that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I told him, you know, a lot of schools do that. But I thought Lawrence does a really good job of that, too.
Yes, yes. Lawrence is my alma mater. Absolutely.
I believe that. And then Brad Zemo is on from Rooted Wisconsin, podcast guy. And it was fun to have him. And, of course, the Salvation Army people. But we're going to wrap up with you, Colleen. Colleen Rortfett, who is the director of the Appleton Public Library, new library progress that's going on in Appleton. This has been a 15-year, I'm going to say it's a struggle, but a 15-year process. How's that?
That's a word. Yes, that's an accurate word.
Well, you lived it. I just watched it. But I did talk to some people about that. I think communities want, libraries are more modern. There's more things going on. Like you said, it's not just a you know, in a dark room. And what would be your advice for a community that's thinking, we'd like to upgrade our library?
Well, I think if you believe you need a new library, an improved library, a renovated library, or there's something that's not adequate in your library, you need to work with the community. You need to work with whatever municipality or county that library is a part of and try to work together. I mean, while we did put out several plans that didn't result in a library, we learned something every step of the way. And some of the things we learned early on were that I think the people who were really deeply connected to this building, because this building had served our community for you know, 40 years very well. And so some of the folks that were opposed to some of the other iterations, I think they were maybe disappointed because the place that meant so much to them felt like it was being left aside. And so I think when you hear things that maybe aren't included in your plans, incorporate them seriously. Listen to that feedback very seriously. And when you have a plan that gels, you know, I think this moved forward really quickly because Mayor Woodford saw that that resistance was out there to a different location. And once we got past that, it really went fast. And
did that help? That helped that both you guys are Lawrence people?
I don't know.
I think it did.
Wasn't part of the plan. I certainly wouldn't.
I just think it's great.
I have one vote in that election for mayor.
tell us. So you've been at this. I don't know how long you've been in the library business industry, whatever the right word is.
Like over 25 years.
So where do you see libraries going? Some people thought they were going to be obsolete. I mean, right? Remember that whole thing where we don't need libraries anymore. Everybody's online. Everybody's doing this and that, and yet. You know, you're putting millions of dollars into a new facility, as I think a lot of communities should. But how do you see libraries? What do you think libraries are going to look like in, you know, 10, 15, 20, 25 years?
I think libraries have always evolved with their community. And so when you have the lens of your point in time, which a lot of our point in time was when what we did was check out books. And over time, that evolves and changes. And so I think what you're going to see are libraries continuing to evolve and change with their communities. You have to listen to what the community wants, their hopes and dreams. You know, sometimes you have to understand, like, maybe exactly what they want isn't something that library can do, but that there's a way to address the underlying need. We have a practice in the library called a reference interview. And what it means is that sometimes the surface question isn't actually what the person needs. And it takes like a deeper engagement to figure out how to satisfy that need, like a negotiation. And so every community's library should be different. We aren't cookie cutters big box store. Right. So that's what's going to happen.
All right. Lastly, you've had a great career. Are you running the library? One of the best, you said it's the largest library in your county, right?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And you help renovate a new library, which is going to be the state of the art. Any advice for somebody who wants to be a librarian? What was your career path? Like, how did you get to where you are?
I had a pretty circuitous career path. You know, I went to Lawrence for music. And
doesn't everybody?
A lot of people go to Lawrence for music. It's a great music school. And I think there isn't a traditional career path. And that's what makes libraries so great, is you have people with all sorts of backgrounds and experiences that for some reason have this common value of the library, making sure people have access to the information and resources they need. And so that's what's beautiful. If the less common path, the more interesting, because you're going to bring a new viewpoint and perspective to that community. So there's no cookie cutter way, whether your priorities are technology or community engagement or collection development. There's a lot in a library, and you're probably going to be able to add something that's needed to that community.
Yeah, with people like you, we will. I'm encouraged to hear you say that they're going to be around and they're going to be even stronger. I did worry a little bit that, because I think it's more than checking out books. I mean, I kind of get that. There's community. You have speakers, you have events, mm-hmm. you have...
Yeah. The younger generation has never questioned that with us. The questions have always come from folks my age and older, I will say, wondering, because they see how the formats change.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that people aren't going to need a library.
And they will. All right. Well, we appreciate what you're doing there. We're looking forward to your grand opening.
Thank you.
It's going to be spring, summer?
Oh, no. It's going to be cold. It's going to be early 2025 and cold.
Oh. No, it's going to be that soon. Well, that's good.
So you're
tracking that for... Yeah, sure. Everything else has just hit the mark exactly when
that's
you
right.
thought. No, I think that's really cool that it's going to be open, February, March, whatever. You're going to keep us posted.
We will.
We
yep.
want to come down there for your ribbon
That'd
cutting. Because
be
I know you have worked so hard on that. And you're right. That is a staple in the community that we have to continue to support.
Well, thank
All right,
you for having me.
Thanks for coming in. It was interesting. And get your library plan together.
That's right.
You got a website or something they can call to work with that?
www.apl.org.
APL, Appleton Library.
APL.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I love it. All right. Thanks for coming in. I want to thank all our guests today. We had a great time today. Johnny, Todd, this has been fun. We'll see everybody tomorrow. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Out of the red, out of the
the national news cycle never stops. But it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.